Father, we thank you. God, just as the song says, that you're lifting our load. Jesus, you said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you will find rest for your souls. Father, we come to you today not just because of the things that you can do for us, but because of who you are. God, because of who you said you are and who you would be. God, you said you would be strength to us in time of trouble because we take refuge in you. So God, we come today no matter where we are in life, God, whether the sun is shining or the skies seem cloudy, to find our refuge in you because you are good. You are faithful. God, you never leave. You never forsake. You are an ever-present help. And we love you. And we want to know you more because there is more of you to be known. So we thank you for that today. God, with a heart of anticipation, we continue to look to you and all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome on this beautiful fall Sunday, November 9th. The year is just crashing to an end, isn't it? It just started. Where did it go? 2025, gone already. This is one of my favorite times of the year. I enjoy fall anyway. Just so many things to do, but a season that lends itself to community. Thanksgiving, Christmas are times of togetherness. And what you find is when people are not experiencing community during these times, there's a great sense of something missing. And that's why they say these can be some of the loneliest times if you're not in that place where your needs for community are being met. You really notice it. I began a series last night with a friend of mine that I meet with. It's called Wounded by Shame, Healed by Grace. I've gone through this series, I don't know how many times, six times maybe. Every time I go through it, I get something more. But he was talking about neediness. And he said, neediness is not a good or a bad thing. It's just a thing. Everybody has needs. Some people aren't more needy than others. It's just some people are having their needs met and others aren't. But we all have need the same. And one of those needs that we have is for community. People, this guy over here looks healthy because his needs are being met because they're, or she in community, and this person over here doesn't have it. And we notice that they look very needy because that need is not being met, but all of us together have the same need. And that's how it is. So many times we look around and there's a couple of different kinds of people. Either your needs are being met, your needs are not being met, or you're a good faker, right? And there's a lot of good fakers. Oh, I look fine. I look like my needs are being met when really they're not, and they feel very much alone. So that just kind of I don't know, that was free. Whether it was free or not, it may have cost you something. I'm not sure, but it adds and lends itself to where we've been going, really talking about the mission and vision of our church. But leading up to that, we've been creating a biblical imagination. We have to have biblical imagination. We have to be able to find ourselves in the story. Because the scriptures are not just an old history lesson, it's an ongoing story that we are a part of. And as we look into scriptures, we need to be able to see where we're at based on things that have happened before us. And so who are we in our moment? I guess that's been as we develop a biblical imagination. We've looked in the story and we said, well, everybody gets a moment, don't they? Everybody gets a moment to build. And Paul tells us, be careful how you build. The moment is important. This is where God is working. Right here today, when you leave this place, that's where God's working, right there. And our moment, the time that we have, is important. Now, a couple of years back, because we're just been kind of leading up to a mission and vision statement that we developed a couple of years ago, and I want to revisit it. I think it's an important time to revisit this. And we participated in an exercise called the Acts 2 Journey. And as we moved through the process, we wrote out a mission and a vision statement, which we felt best reflected God's intent for our story that we are participating in today, and as well as a guide for those who would come after us. Because how many of you know that you were not the beginning of the story and you will not be the end of the story, right? You have a place in the story. You have a place in the story, and this moment is important. God has given us this moment. Isn't that amazing? Think about this. I've thought about this. God could have put you anywhere in history, but he chose to put you here. Jesus, when he prays in the garden, he says, God, I'm not asking you to deliver me from this moment, but for this moment I have come. And that impacted me because you know what? If you have a biblical imagination, the attitude that was in Christ will be in you. And you'll say, oh God, you could have put me any place, but you chose to put me here. So God, I'm not asking you to take me out of this moment, but for this very moment I have come. God, be alive in me to the point that I fulfill your purpose in this moment. There is nothing greater that we could ever do than to fulfill the purpose of God in our moment. That is the thing that we will look back on. And so we came up with a mission and a vision statement that we felt best reflected. Like, God, what was your purpose for this church? Before we ever showed up and after we're gone, you have purpose. What is your purpose? Here's kind of where we landed on the purpose statement: to create healthy community in our community. Now, if you remember back, we've been developing a biblical imagination. What does the word church mean? It means called out ones. Jesus said, I will build an assembly of called out ones. And remember, this was a Greek word that didn't have any spiritual connotation to it. It just meant people called out into assembly. Jesus said, I'm going to build a holy assembly, a community of people. And as we looked in the scripture, considered the beginning of our church, or what we would consider the beginning, I'll guarantee you God was at work long before there was ever a building here. But when we can see, when we can quantify when this began to happen, we see that it was God's intent, or we believe his purpose was for us to build healthy community inside of our community. And this is at the very core of what Jesus commanded his disciples just before he was taken back into heaven. What did he say? Go and make disciples. Now, the Hebrew word for disciple was based in the idea of sharing life together as a means of learning, to walk so closely with another that the dust of your sandals gets on them. That's literally what disciple meant. To walk so closely with another that the dust of your sandals gets on them. When Jesus said, go make disciples, he didn't say, go dispense information. He said, go build community. He looked back at all they'd been doing. He goes, you see what we've been doing. Now go and keep doing it. They lived in community with one another. And these disciples didn't just want to learn from Jesus. They wanted to walk so closely with him that they caught who he was. When Jesus says, go make disciples, and we talk about creating healthy community, that happens when you walk closely enough with somebody that the character of Christ in you gets on them. That's making disciples. That is creating healthy community. It's a process of character display which gives way to a hunger in another for the path to the character experienced. When I was at a young age, up until junior high, we attended church. Grew up in Conrad. We attended church. There was just a debacle, and then we weren't in church anymore. Or at least my dad quit going to church. And, you know, if dad quits going to church, then the kids don't have to go to church. So I didn't go to church because, of course, I'd rather sleep in on Sunday. And even at that age, I've got other things on my mind. And so I was really not a part of the church from that time up until my early 20s. And I had gone to school in Phoenix, and I had come back and worked for a while. I was working for a utility line contractor as a heavy equipment mechanic, and I ended up in Billings. And while I was there, my mom would, I would talk to her on a weekly basis, and mom would say, "Why don't you go back to church? Why don't you go back?" I'm like, "God, I don't want to go back to church. Why would I go back to church? You should go back to church." And, you know, finally one day I'm reasoning in my head, and I thought, well, because I wasn't 21 yet, and I was sowing my oats, and I thought, well, I'm really too old to be hanging around the high school, and I'm too young to get into the bars, and you know, there's girls at church. That was the bait right there. I thought, well, I'm going to go to church. There'll be some girls there. Maybe I'll meet somebody. And I began to go to church, and I began to meet people, and it was so interesting because the dust of what was happening in their life began to get on me. And I'll tell you, a couple of people in particular, I saw them and I looked at them, and in my waywardness, I said, "God, if that's what it means to follow you, I'll give all that I have to do that because I see something in them that is more real than anything else I've ever seen." And what happened is I ended up getting in community with those people, and the dust of their life got on me, and it began a process of transformation. And really what was happening as part of our vision statement, this is how we walk out the mission, but there was a greater capacity for God that was being created in me. And God just kept filling it. And it kept getting greater and greater and greater. So discipleship and community are inseparable. You cannot disciple without creating community and without having healthy relationships with people. Here is the pathway that we established for walking out the mission. Because you can say to create healthy community in your community, but how do we do that? Now, I'm not a big mission vision person. I've just never been wired that way. I'm kind of as a mechanic, I was very focused on a task at hand. Now, my goal was to get that done and to make somebody smile. And so, you know, I wasn't thinking out long-term ahead of me. And so I've always needed other people around me that could do that better than me. And even as we went through this, like I forgot to hand these out today. Maybe Cassandra at some point could get these. We've got these printed out. And even if it just had the mission and vision statements, I'd like you to have these. I look at these and I go, wow, who did this? This is so good. Like, but it was a group of people who came together and said, this is who we believe our church is. But how do we accomplish that? How do we create healthy community in our community? And that's what the vision statement's about. It's about some of the steps that we will take to implement the mission. So here's the vision. Here's the vision of how we create healthy community in our community. And again, we're going to break this down even more, but it said this: harmonizing together in his service, looking forward, creating a greater capacity for God. Now, each one of those statements you can find in Scripture, and with a biblical imagination, you begin to see yourself in the story as walking it out. There must have been some biblical imagination happening to come up with such a thing. And every time I read that, and maybe you hear that and you go, oh, that's okay. But as we go through, you'll catch it. You'll catch it. And you see this in Scripture. And you know, has there ever been a time when you experienced something and maybe you didn't understand it fully, but it resounded in your heart and you said, yes, this is true. Yes, this is true. This is kind of like this vision statement. Every time I read it, it resounds in my heart, even though I don't fully understand how it gets played out. And here's the dynamic. We'll hit this again today, but Jesus said something about walking through troubling situations. And he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. when we gathered together for this Acts 2 journey, I mean, you got, I think there was 18 people involved, 18 different people, 18 unique people. Everybody sees things a little bit different. Everybody brought something to the table. But somehow or another, God was in the works of that whole thing when we gathered together in his name. And this is where we landed. And I believe that this was a God thing. I don't believe that this was just a matter of good thinking practices. I believe that where two or three were gathered, there he was in our midst and at work to help us understand the direction that we needed to take. I believe it's a God thing. I believe it's a God thing. So what is God's purpose for us to make disciples? Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Now we have a vision for walking this out, but it's creating healthy community in our community is really just, it's another way of saying, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Let's look at what Jesus said about this. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's very interesting, and I've taught this for years, but if you look at this, he says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And sometimes we reroute that and we just make it teaching them. No, how do we teach them? How did Jesus tell his disciples to teach others? As they lived out what he commanded them. He said, that's the method of teaching, right? This is lifestyle display. It's one thing to say something, it's another thing to live it, right? There are people that I watch their lives and I'm just in awe, and then there's people that talk a lot and I shut them off, right? And don't think that that's a new phenomenon to anybody else. Very few people will listen to what you have to say if they don't know who you are. I was telling somebody this morning, I was a children's pastor, and I would tell the kids, we lived in Billings. I said, if you go to Rimrock Mall today with a $100 bill, and you walk into the middle of the mall, walk up to a complete stranger and hold it out, what's going to happen is they're going to take a step back, they're going to look at you, and they're going to go, what do you want? Right? It doesn't matter how good the thing is that you have. If you don't have a relationship with somebody, chances are they're not going to take it. But I said, if I walk up to one of my kids with a $100 bill and I stick my hand out, guess what? I better not blink because it's going to be gone. They know me. That's how it is with discipleship. We carry the good news of Christ in us. But without relationship, it's looked at with suspicion, right? Why? Because somebody wants to see it alive. You know, the Word of God is alive and active. It's not just a dead thing we throw out there. But where does it have to work first? Right here. Right here. When it is alive here, the dust of that will get on others. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So Jesus said, go and make disciples. Individually, we respond to this mandate and we trust that God will orchestrate our response into the corporate harmony that we call the church. See, we call this church, but we are a part of the body of Christ as a whole, and the whole is the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build Hungry Horse Chapel. Now, we're a part of his church, aren't we? We are. We have a function in the body, and we need to function well. Scripture talks about each part providing. We provide something to the body, but the church as a whole. And so as we individually participate, and we must, we are trusting that God will take what we give and orchestrate it into the bigger body of Christ. And the word I'm going to use a lot, two words. You're going to hear a lot today. One is harmony. And of course, that is part of our vision statement, isn't it? Harmonizing together. Harmony and unity are two things that in Scripture as a whole, we see that God requires of us. And I want to look at that a bit today. Is what we are participating in right here today And so I'm kind of, I've made a, in my mind, I've made a jump, and sometimes I make the jump without you. So here we are. We are a part of the body of Christ. Now we understand, or I hope we do, that God has given us the privilege of discipleship, of building community, okay? So we got those two things. So the question is, right here, what we're doing right here today during this time is what we are participating in right here today meant to be the most effective format for discipleship? Is what we do here on Sunday morning meant to be the most effective format for discipleship? Now, this is a critical question, because if we're called to build healthy community in our community, if we're called to disciple, are we to rely solely on this to get it done? No. Now, this is very important. This has a specific purpose. You want to know why? Because it's community. This, to me, is a gathering of celebration of what God is doing out here. And there is a joy that is meant to come with this. Because even neuroscientists tell us today that joy is a function of the brain. And here's what it happens. When you look in the eyes of another person and you see that they're glad to be there with you, what they call joy happens in the brain. Not a feeling, but a strength. Joy is a strength to navigate the difficult situations of life. We need this together time to navigate the difficult situations that we face out there. But this is not the primary format for making disciples. The primary format for making disciples is your relationships. The dust of your life getting on others. And if we rely on this to be the sole format for discipleship, then we will die. Promise. I promise. Because we are not making disciples here. We are celebrating together here. And there is discipleship that happens here. But it is not the primary format that God designed discipleship to happen. And if you look in the book of Acts, there were five things that were happening, and discipleship happened in all of them. And only one of them was gathering together in the temple. Only one of them. So if we're going to engage in the purpose that God's given us, we can't solely rely on this to do it. We have to realize that outside of these walls and the other 166 hours a week, that we have opportunities to engage in discipleship where we are developing or allowing the character of Christ to be developed in us. And the dust of that is getting onto the lives of others. How many of you know that's where things get messy? You want to know why we avoid relationships? Because they're difficult. Meaningful relationships are not easy. Are they? That's why it's easier to get drunk and talk to somebody than it is to sit and talk to them sober. You want to know why there's so many meaning relationships on bar stools? Because we don't have to be who we are. We can be somebody else. You want to know meaningful relationships? It's when you're sitting eye to eye with somebody and you're sharing life. You're not responsible to carry everything for them, but you are sharing life with them. With Eugene Peterson, you hear me say his name a lot. I was never a Eugene Peterson fan, but there's a couple of things he said that have marked me. And he said, as followers of Christ, here's what discipleship looks like. We know one another by name. I don't know you by your problems. I know you by name. We share one another's problems, and together we're waiting for a resurrection. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. That is the thing that we are called to. And so I believe this two-hour space has a specific function in the discipleship mandate. But I believe it was meant to complement the larger share of the discipleship process that happens outside of this place during the week. And then just kind of a funny question, I mean, you think about this, how much of your dust is getting on your neighbor right now? Not very much, right? Right? Because what is discipleship? It's the dust of your life getting on another. Now, we do experience it, because when you come in, you meet Jeannie. Where's Jeannie? There's Jeannie. Jeannie gets some dust on you when you walk in the door. She smiles, she shakes your hand. If you go to Sunday school, Willie gets some dust on you. When you come in for our corporate time of worship, the worship team gets a little dust on you. And by the time I'm done, you'll have to go outside and shake yourself off because I'll get lots of dust on you whether you want it or not. But it is not the main format for what discipleship is to look like. We model some discipleship practices here, and maybe sometimes some bad ones. Because, you know, honestly, I think a bigger part of discipleship than our talking is our ability to listen. Well, I'll tell you what, I learned when my dad passed. I did not need people to come and talk to me. I just needed people that were there and would listen. And that's how it is. So many times when we're walking with people and they have difficult things going on, it's not about having the answers. It's just about people knowing that we're there with them and we can listen. Because, you know, somebody that listens, you will attract people without ever saying a word. Because they understand that you care for them, which is another basic need that we all have. It's not good or bad. It's just one we all have. And many people look very needy in that area because those needs are not being met. And you know, one of the simplest things we can do is to listen. And it's one of the greatest things that we can do in the lives of other people that need hope. They want to know somebody cares. So, discipleship. We have a corporate gathering of individual parts, and it is to be a celebration of the harmony that is possible when we gather. This is to be a great time. We should look forward to this. We should. This should be a celebration of what God is doing. But how many of you understand that when something is good and we enjoy it, sometimes we tend to lean on it a little bit harder than what we should to do things it wasn't intended to do? You know, I have favorite tools in my toolbox. When I worked as a mechanic, I had favorite tools in my toolbox. There's things I really like to work with because usually it meant the end of the job was drawing near. But one of my favorite tools in my toolbox was a 5-pound dead blow that Snap-on Tools made. Is a big orange hard rubber, has sand inside. I worked at a hydraulic shop in Billings, and you would use that thing to separate parts, and it was a great stress reliever. Right? It was one of my favorite tools. How many of you know it's not the appropriate tool for every job? That's kind of how it gets to be. Because we enjoy this, sometimes we rely on it more than we should, and we try to use it in ways that aren't appropriate all the time. And I think for this to be healthy, we have to be healthy outside of here as well, which makes this more healthy, right? Because it becomes about the celebration. Will some discipleship happen? Yes, it will. Is this a place we should be able to bring people that have never heard about Christ? Yes, it is. But I will tell you this right now. You will get a lot farther in people's lives sharing the good news one-on-one than you will ever get here. Because people come back for the relationships that they have. They don't come back to hear me. And if we don't have relationships with people, they're just not going to stick. They're just not. A few will. A few will. But by far and large, I was telling somebody, I was sharing with CJ this morning. He said, when I came back to Christ and I rededicated my life to Christ, I got involved in my church because of the relationships that I had. Initially, I didn't go for the pastor. I didn't go for the worship. I didn't go. They didn't have any after service fellowship. I went because I had relationships with about three people. And those relationships were creating a greater capacity for Christ in me. And as I went to that church, I got involved with the youth group. Now, I got to tell you something about me. Youth, don't take this wrong, but you've just never been my people. All of my good friends are far advanced of me in years. I have only had one good friend that was my age. Everybody else that has been a good friend to me has been way ahead of me in years. So for me to get involved with the youth group was an uncomfortable place. And worse than just being involved with the youth group, they put me with junior hires. Junior hires are psychotic. They are not my people. Okay? And I did that for 7 years. You want to know why I did that for 7 years? It wasn't because I enjoyed what I did. It's because I had great relationships with the people who were there with me. And I went back every week for them. And God continued to create a greater capacity for me, for him in my life in the midst of that. I'll tell you what, relationships are powerful. They're powerful. And that is what I believe is so foundational to being a healthy part of the church that God has called us to be. This gathering is a demonstration of our hope. Now, you remember that the word hope in Hebrew means, it's a Hebrew word that means a stranded cord. It's an us together. Hope is always us together. And so when we talk about hope, scripture says that this is the hope. This hope is the anchor for our soul that goes behind the veil. What's the hope? Is that God is with me, right? And we are with one another. This is a demonstration of our hope. In Matthew 18:20, which I've already quoted you, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. This is a demonstration of our hope. It is a sign, and it is a testament to what God is doing, both to the believer and to the unbeliever, right? So when somebody comes that's never experienced Christ, what should happen here? They should go, I sense hope. Because guess what, folks? We live in a world that's without it. And when you come in and you experience the hope that people have, not only in God, but the joy of hope that they have with one another, you're drawn to that. Now, what needs to happen after that? Not just another Sunday service. They need somebody to connect with to go, where does this hope come from? Like, where do you guys get this? Do you got a little well out back that you draw this out of? No. It's just that we are learning to walk together. We're learning to have community together, not just on Sunday, but outside of that place. This should be the most fun. It is not, however, the vehicle designed to create the greatest movement in the discipleship mandate. Some movement, yes, but not the greatest movement. That happens to be in our representation of Jesus in our daily living. That is the greatest vehicle for the discipleship mandate. The greatest vehicle. It's awkward. And I'll tell you what, there is no hard, fast model for what that looks like, because what it looks like in Jim's life and what it looks like in Sherry's life and what it looks like in Chris's life and what it looks like in Tyrese's life and what it looks like in my life is different. You want to know why? Because we're all different. I interact with people different than you do. But when we look at our interactions and the sphere of influence that God has given us in our community, and we look at every one of those relationships, and we go, God, every one of these is an opportunity for discipleship. Not in the sense of I'm always going to be dispensing information. Sometimes I'm just listening. But sometimes it is appropriate that I dispense the information, right? Why? Because I've created a relationship. I've created a bridge. And what's that do? That creates a greater capacity for God in that person's life. And now I have the opportunity to share the information, and they will receive it. Why? Because they know me. Now, if I've got some fatal flaws in my character, guess what? I need to get with God and work on that. Because people aren't stupid. They know if you're faking it. In a heartbeat, they know if you're faking it. Right? And then they walk away and they go, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a reason that scripture tells us not everybody should presume to be a teacher, because teachers will have a stricter judgment. Why? Because we are representing somebody. And there have been times in my life that I have not represented him well, right? And those are areas he wants to work with me on, because he wants the dust of his character to be what's falling out of my life, not just the dust of Brent. Because I had a friend who just struggled throughout his life, and even up to his passing, there were just things he struggled with. And it grieved his heart. He said, Bud, he always called me Bud. Bud, I hate being Ed. Not this Ed. This was another Ed. I have a lot of friends named Ed. He says, I hate being Ed. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. But I encouraged him. I said, man, just continue to let God work with you in that to develop his character and his nature in you. All right. I'm going to have the worship team come back. I'm going to stop. I did not. I really wanted to get to the initial statement in our mission, and that is harmonizing together. We're going to get into that, but it deserves all the time that we need to give it. I want to show you this in Scripture. Harmonizing together is the most challenging aspect of participating in the church. Harmonizing together. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about sameness. It's about diversity. Now, I'm talking within the healthy boundaries of Scripture. Okay? I'm not going outside the boundaries of Scripture. Boundaries of Scripture give us guidelines, tells us this is what healthy is. But inside of that, how many of you know that there is great diversity of gifts? Great diversity of personalities. And every one of those God gave and placed to help create the harmony that he desires. And that's a struggle. And I think God even laughs because he puts you in contact with people that are not like you. And they rub you. We go, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to look for some place with people more like me. Well, if you find that place, you've found the sickest church part there is. Because if the whole body was an eye, where would the body be? That's what Paul says. And individually, we are all responding in this harmony. And it's our willingness to let God take our part and say, God, I want to do what you commanded. I want to create healthy community in my community, and I want to make disciples. But God, would you help me to see what that looks like in my life every day? And maybe I've relied on what we call church to do the work you're asking me to do outside. I don't know what that looks like. That's okay. Neither do I, but are you asking? Because you know, the greatest thing we can ask, Paul says, God, help us to make the most of every opportunity. Help us to buy up the opportunities, for the days are evil. I'm like, God, I want to buy up every opportunity to participate in the discipleship mandate that you have given. And I want your character growing in me first. Here's what I want us to focus on today. I'm going to turn the worship team loose here in a minute. And we're just going to spend some time just in worship, pondering what God has been saying to you today. And by the way, when you're done, if you'd like prayer, we're going to be here to pray with you. We have an after-service fellowship. If you can stay and join us for that, please do. Because why? Why? Because you're building community. That's why. But during this time, God, number one, in my response to your mandate, what are the things in my life that you are wanting to work on because you realize that this is dust that's getting on other people that shouldn't? We all have it. God, I want the dust coming out of my life to be your dust. The dust of heaven. The dust of your character. The dust of your nature. The dust of your love. The dust of all you've done in me. I want that to come out in the lives of others. God, help me with that. Number two, God, would you help me to recognize the opportunities that you are giving me outside of this place to participate in the discipleship mandate? Would you help me to recognize them? And you know what? You want to know what you're going to find? That God doesn't give you things you can't do. It may seem a little awkward, but I will guarantee you it's something he's already wired you for. When I find myself, and usually I don't recognize it until after the fact, but just participating in discipleship, I go, oh God, that's something that you already put in me. I just had to listen, or I just had to encourage, because what's happening? there's a greater capacity for God that's being created in somebody else. And it may come with words, but it may just come with a smile. It may just come with an encouraging word. It may just come with a hello. It may come with a how are you doing today? I don't know. But God, how many of you know we get distracted and we miss the simple things? And I believe most of the opportunities that God gives us are very simple because he calls us to be what? Childlike. Children aren't complicated creatures. We don't have to be either. God goes, listen, I'm your father. I've prepared these things. I've made you ready. Let me lead you there, right? In your dependence upon me, you will recognize the opportunities to make disciples. And so we just have to ask, God, would you help me? So I think that's kind of the second thing I would like us just to consider this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. And the worship team's going to sing, when you are done, or if you would like prayer, you are dismissed. Join us if you can. If you can stay, be great. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. God, we rejoice in what you're doing here in our midst, that we get to come together. We get to celebrate your name. We get to celebrate your goodness. And God, we get to thank you that you are doing something outside of here in our community, God, that we don't even realize yet. We see dimly, but God, you see well. But you have been preparing us to create healthy community inside our community. And we're asking, Spirit of Christ, that you would come today and would you touch our hearts? Would you convict us in areas of our life, God, that are not in line with who you are? Would you lead us, God, in repentance and renewal in those areas of our life so that the dust that comes from those areas is your dust? And God, would you also help us to recognize the opportunities that you have prepared for us to participate in? We ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand what you are doing. We thank you for this, and we know that you have heard us. And if we know that you hear us, we know we have received the promises and the petitions that we have made of you. In Jesus' name.
Fullness of glory is right here before me.